smart speaker in your home or office? Just say, hey, Google, play 98.5.
It's amazing.
And listen to Boston's Home for sports.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 the Sports Hub.
82-64. Oh. Steal. Kyrie from the backside. Rips it away, goes the distance, and reverses it up and in off the window. Kyrie's playing with this game a little bit right now. And he can. Celtics by 20. 84-64. Here's another one. Celtics now lead by 22. A couple of threes for Al Horford here in an early third quarter timeout for Fred Hoiberg. How about a 40-13 Boston run?
You know, I felt like once we kind of settled down, saw the ball go in a few times, you know, Jabari Parker hit some tough shots in that first quarter, but for the most part, our defense was pretty solid and pretty good. It kind of kept us at bay. And then, you know, once we hit a couple, I thought, you know, we felt a lot better about ourselves. That to be expected when you come off of a road trip where it didn't go your way and it's a long trip in general.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge, call in. From the Prius.
I think we had him a second ago, and then we got him?
We didn't get him. So I'll tell you this, Chipotle's not even open.
Yeah,
no excuse. But
The Arsenal Mall ones opens at, I think, 10:45. That is now his new Chipotle, seeing that the Arbach Center is right down the road. It used to be right across from the TD Garden over off Causeway. Not anymore.
No, his Chipotle was in Needham. On Needham Street.
Well, I'm talking like when he was doing practices. There was like pictures of him in the one across the garden.
Okay, because when they were at the old place in Waltham, he would actually make the drive down to Needham. Jimmer, say hello.
Hey, guys. You fired up?
Always. Always fired up, Jimmer, say.
Well, all they've told me, all they keep telling me is how damn good you guys are. In my building, all they're talking about is the Titans. I can't for the life of me figure out why. New England, Indy, Thursday night game. I circled this game a long time ago. I'm fired up.
Well, that's good to know. You don't sound like the normal Jim Irsay guy.
You know, I'm trying here today. A little messed up. But so, you guys fired up for the game tonight or what?
All right, Jim Irsay, we have to let you go because
hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
Thank you.
He's trying so hard to be cool, Jim Irsay. We are very pleased to welcome to the show the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, Mr. Danny Ainge. Hello, Mr. Danny Ainge.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
Very well, thank you. We're very excited for the snow. It is a lovely area to live in, and it's not depressing at all thinking about what the next 4.5 months will be like.
Mr. Positive.
Yeah, well, at least you get to travel.
That's true.
We're stuck here.
Yeah.
Well, I am glad that I get to travel. I get to head out to Maui next week. That'll be good.
The Maui Invitational?
Yeah.
Nice. Who's playing in that?
Oh, lots of good teams. Duke's playing in it. Gonzaga's playing in it. Can't wait. Should be fun.
All right. Speaking of college basketball, let's talk about basketball at a lot lower level, and that is Fitchburg State. I don't know if you've seen this video that went viral yesterday, but there was a kid who was, I forget who they were playing, but
they're playing the Nichols College Bison.
Yes. Okay, so a player from the Nichols College Bison was taking a three-point shot when everyone was looking up to see whether or not it was going in. This kid from Fitchburg State walked right up to this boy, looked and saw that there was the ref wasn't looking, and elbowed him right in the face, knocking him to the ground. I mean, it looked like it's a kind of move that could break your nose because he doesn't see it coming because he's looking up at the basket to see if it's going in. It's one of the dirtier plays I've ever seen in a court. But you, however, have been right in the middle in the heyday of dirty basketball, right in the center of it all.
Tree Rollins.
Hey. Was he called for a foul?
Yeah, and he's indefinitely suspended.
Yeah, the cameras caught him then.
Yeah, when you played.
Then he didn't do it right.
Yeah, when you played, they just went, fellas.
Yeah, let's break this up.
I actually did see that play. on Twitter yesterday. I can't. That is as bad as I've ever seen. Also,
okay. Tragic. So, when you used to play, what was the dirtiest play that you saw on the court, and one that maybe someone got away with that nobody else saw?
You know, not, I don't know. You know, guys would hit each other, elbow each other, you know, like when people weren't looking, but not just full out, you know, chops to the head. I mean, I did see some frustration, you know, all hell break loose fighting going on. But, you know, those were not like sucker punches like that. That was pretty bad.
What was your best trick? Like, if you wanted to really get to someone, but you wanted to get away with it, like the what was your trick to physically get somebody and no one see it?
I didn't have a trick. I usually did not get away with it.
When they were watching him. What was the worst thing you saw Bird do on defense?
No, I didn't really see any of that kind of stuff. I mean, again, you know, frustration gets in and guys, you know, will hit you or push you or whatever, but I didn't see any tricks of that kind of stuff. I don't think anybody had a special trick.
Because I know that Kevin Garnett had the nut punch. Like, he would do that thing when no one was looking, he would just punt. It was like a really fast slap in the crotch. You noticed that, right?
No, I never did notice that.
Oh, come on, Danny. Everyone noticed that. That was his patented trick.
He can't do that and not get away, and get away with it.
He did for years. he did it for years. He would wait till, like, you know, it was like a tip-off or something, or he would be next to a guy, and he would just quickly slap him right in the crotch.
Danny, you're courtside. Come on.
I never saw Kevin do that.
Okay, well, I will send you a montage.
So he must have really got away with it.
Yeah, like I do it to John at least four times a day. And no one ever notices it.
Right. Yes. Well, by the way, congratulations.
Cup check.
Yeah, congratulations, you guys. The Celtics finally, you know, had a game. They needed to not only win yesterday's game, but they had to pummel the Bulls. I mean, it was something that you knew for this team to get right mentally. They had to have a game like that last night. What did you think of how they played?
I thought we played well. It was the most complete game we played. And, you know, our guys, I think that they are frustrated that they haven't played well for a whole game. We've had great stretches every game. We played good for a quarter and a half, but we have a lot of loose things that we need to clean up, and that's not going to happen in one game. But I saw some promising signs last night.
All right, do you think Kyrie was trying to send you a message when he said that he wished that the Celtics had a 14-year veteran on the team, obviously for some sort of guidance? Do you think by saying that he was trying to let you know, hey, maybe we need to be looking around for some sort of presence for these guys?
You know, listen, I talk to Kyrie all the time. Kyrie can tell me whatever he wants to tell me anytime, privately or publicly, I guess. But I don't think he's trying to send any message. Walk right up to my office and send me any message he wants. But I think that at that moment, he was probably feeling that we needed. I'm not even sure what he meant by that. I didn't even talk to him about that comment. But I don't know if he meant a 15-year player or a 15-year guy in the locker room or what it was, but we have good leadership. Kyrie's been a great leader this year also. I think sometimes those guys can be disruptive in the locker, and sometimes they can help, but can't just be any 15-year player. But I heard what he said, and I'll talk to him about that.
Yeah, I think what he was, and I believe last night he was asked to kind of clarify what he meant, and I believe he was saying it's because, you know, having a veteran in there will let them know that you got to push through these games and you can't take games like this road trip off, and you need someone in there who's been there and who's won before to let them know that. And he said, listen, I've gone on my championship run and I've done that, but sometimes you need somebody a little bit older.
I have it here.
That.
It's 40 seconds.
No, that's all right. That's all right. I paraphrased it horribly, right, but that's essentially what he meant. Do you agree with that?
Listen, we have a young group of guys that are very mature for their age. I think that you go through ups and downs no matter what your age is. We saw our young group of guys, you know, make it to the conference final game seven last year. They know what they have to go through. And if there comes a time when I feel like we need that, I think that that's the least of our issues right now. I think we just need to play harder. And I don't think that voices in the locker room more than what we have. We have veteran players and Baines and Horford and Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. We have a lot of good voices. And then our young kids are very mature. So I think we just need to play harder. I think that's where it needs to start. That's the first and foremost is play with that same urgency every night that we play with when we're down 15.
Just don't get that Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah,
he
please.
Seems to stink everything
yeah,
up.
Please.
Yeah, you know he's no good anymore.
But what do you do? What do you do if you're Brad Stevens? I mean, and through your experience playing, like when the team goes through a series of games where you can just tell that they're taking quarters off, games off, even. What has a coach said to you that has motivated you guys to playing harder when it seems that that's the case? It's just a matter of effort.
You know, I don't think that players are motivated by just coaches and 15-year veterans. I mean, the motivation has to come from within. And I've watched all these guys, every single player on our team, I've watched them play throughout their entire careers, whether they're in high school, college, or the NBA. Every single guy on our team is self-motivated, and they are, you know, they know what they need to do. I think that there's, you know, been different rotations, and we're trying to figure some things out as a team, and we have guys coming back from health issues, and there's lots of different things going on, but ultimately, just play hard. Just go out and compete, prepare yourself to play, and play hard, and then every now and then mix in a bucket.
All right, Danny Ainge, of all people last night, Marcus Smart moved into the top 10 three-point shooters in Celtics history. You want to know who he's close to passing at number 9? You. It's you.
Oh.
As a matter of 15 more and he passes you in the three-point. Now, is that just because he chucks up a ton of three-pointers, or have you noticed any kind of improvement when you see Marcus Smart? Because it used to be at the point where, and I still do it, even though I think he has gotten a little bit better. I still yell no whenever he tries to chuck up a three. But have you noticed any kind of improvement in his three-point game?
Yeah, listen, I thought Marcus was going to have a decent three-point shooting year last year before he had all the injuries with his hand. And they weren't a splint on his hand throughout the playoffs. But I do see progress. And, you know, that just goes to show you Marcus has been here for a while. But, yeah, the three-point line right now is much different than it was. I don't even think I attempted that many threes until my fourth or fifth year in the league. It was so new.
So what you're saying is that you could have scored a lot more.
Oh, yeah. If I grew up today, if I grew up in the NBA today, I'd have like 1,000 by now.
There well, that would is. Put you at number 2, right in front of Antoine Walker, I believe, who was.
I would have shot a way better percentage than Antoine, but maybe not as many.
No one shot as many as Antoine, Danny.
Well, listen, back then the half court shot was an effective device, so you had to do it. All right, well, Danny Ainge, congratulations on the win. Have fun out there in Maui, where you get to see that Duke team, which is insanely unfair.
Yeah.
And we will talk to you soon.
All right. Well, I won't talk to you on Thanksgiving Day, but have a great Thanksgiving.
Okay, I'll just call you. I'll just call you during Thanksgiving, okay?
Okay.
All right. I got your number. I'll just give you a call and we'll hash it out.
That would be nice.
All right. Thank you, Danny Ainge. We appreciate it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich go ahead.
I just sent Danny Ainge a video of Kevin Garnett's patented nut punch, which, by the way, I was thinking of, and he did it a bunch, but the one I was thinking of when they were just kind of sitting there waiting and no one's looking and he would just pop them in the nuts, I completely forgot about the Channing Frye one, where Channing Frye goes up for like a three-point shot and Kevin Garnett's got his hand out, kind of, you know, keeping him at bay. And then as he jumps up in the air and the ball leaves his hand and everyone's looking the other way, he just takes him and goes, boom, like right there in the sack. And Channing Frye like falls on the ground writhing in pain. And a fight breaks out, or like a basketball fight, like a scrum breaks out.
Yeah, I was
out,
just
going to
say,
face.
Fight did not break
no,
out.
It was a scrum.
It was a, hey, what's going on? I'm going to yell at you from 10 feet away.
But Garnett was involved. There was absolutely no fight.
Oh, without a doubt. Right. KG did that stuff all the time, and he would find new ways. Who was the one who used to untie everyone's shoes? Was that Lance Stevenson? Was Lance Stevenson the guy who always, or was it J.R. Smith?
No, Stevens used to blow in people's ears.
Yeah, well, I know he did that.
J.R. Smith did that, has done it before.
Well, J.R. Smith's big thing is that he would untie people's shoes while he was, like, he would pretend like he was stretching when they're getting ready for a free throw, and he would go down and untie someone's shoes, and then they would look, and they'd, you know, as they're running down there. And then somebody threw their, didn't he throw someone's shoe into the crowd one time, too?
Yes, I remember that. I don't know if it was him, but I remember that happening.
Right, well, that's just one of the many reasons I love J.R. Smith. But if you saw the video that we were talking about with Danny, it's gone viral by now because it's being called right now the dirtiest play in college basketball history, which I don't know. I don't have a Rolodex in my head of anything that could be worse than this, but it's
not
bad.
An NBA that Tom Jonovich hit.
Kermit Washington.
Yeah.
Well, there's also in the NBA, there's the very simple looking, but probably the most dangerous of them all, of sticking your foot underneath a guy who goes up for a jump shot and they come down on your foot. And I mean,
now that's a foul. The NBA actually had to, you know, make a new rule called an airspace rule.
Kermit Washington ended Tom Jonovich's career and smashed his face apart, requiring multiple surgeries, so I would say that's pretty bad.
Yeah, without a doubt. So if you didn't see it, this guy from Fitchburg State was running towards a gentleman who was shooting a three.
Which he nailed.
So the guy shot the three. Everyone looks up, obviously, at the bucket to see if it goes in, including the ref, in which the dude from Fitchburg State who's running towards him takes a look over to the ref to make sure he's looking the other way, and then goes full-on elbow right to the nose.
Can you call that, John? How would you call that if it was a Brian game?
How would I call what?
That play.
Like starting with the three.
Starting with the three. Okay, you know, so the corner.
Just make up names.
Okay, Smith for three. Count it! And Smith is down. I did not see what happened, because I would have followed the ball also. Right. Did not see what happened, but he is down, and he is not getting up.
You're looking at the replay now.
He's... And I'm looking at, he got a forearm to the face, the dirtiest play I've ever seen on a college basketball court.
And then Cedric Maxwell go, ooh, sandwiches.
Something along
those
lines.
And then that would be
like, yeah, you'd be like, clean up in the frozen food section.
Which I was not
probably ketchup bottle exploded.
Ketchup bottle exploded.
My dog's peeing on a hydrant.
I would be surprised if he did that at all. He does a lot of I Love Lamp and just names the food that's sitting in front of him. So he nails this guy. Yeah. This player from Fitchburg State ends up getting, is he suspended for how long?
He's kicked off campus.
Okay, so he's kicked off campus and he's obviously been suspended indefinitely.
Yeah, I don't think he's going
to
play.
We didn't get an answer as to why this happened, right?
I have researched it, and they showed something that happened earlier in the game, but I can't tell what the guy did.
It was his second technical foul of the game, so I want to know what the first technical was. If anyone happened to be at that game, which is going to be amazing if
I'm betting, though, there was a TNR fan there, or someone who was working in the building was there.
To find out kind of what led up to that?
As a TNR fan. I'm betting somebody that we know or listens to the program was in the building.
Can you imagine if you're selling popcorn there, walking away with that 75 cents?
All the people who are buying popcorn?
You're just jingling in your hand,
don't
baby.
Don't sell popcorn in you. There's a concession stand outside, Fred.
Someone's two-thirds of the way to a soda pop. All right. I just want to take this very quickly. Have you seen something wildly dangerous in a game?
Yeah. What's the dirtiest thing that you've seen in a game that you've played in? Not like one you've attended, because there's been, obviously, we've seen, you know, guys cleat each other in baseball. And my God, we saw what's his name stomp on someone's head, Albert Haynesworth. Yeah. I'm talking about in a game that you were actually playing in. What's the dirtiest? Because those rec league ones are some of the worst. Because some of those guys have no business. They don't even know the rules. They have no business playing. And they just start getting frustrated and throwing fists.
Yeah,
so,
or they're like wildly flailing.
Or irresponsible.
Flailing around and they catch someone in the face. I know someone that happened to the other day. Ralph, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm calling. I'm a Bryant grad, and I think it's incredibly unfair how you're talking about that program.
When did you get stop coloring in the coloring book?
That's not right.
Have you heard of the pot calling the kettle black? I mean,
no, is it a nursery rhyme?
For a bunch of guys that work with Mike Sarge Riley, you're in no place to be that anywhere.
Damn it! Uh-huh. You pushed me into a corner.
That was good. That's worthy of a round of applause. Did not see it coming.
Boy,
very clean.
Did not see that coming.
Well done.
That was not bad.
Uh-huh. Not top five, but still.
It's not
very
the dude
well
who flushed
done.
The toilet earlier and said, "Pardon me, let Sarge go."
Yeah, let's leave me now. Flush.
By the way, I am in no position to talk about the quality of schools, but because I guarantee you, Brian's better than Rollins. Jake, go ahead.
Hi there. Yeah, so I wasn't at that specific game, but Fitchburg played Rhode Island College like a week ago, and they were getting pretty chippy. Like they were down by like 30, and they were not taking it well, so I don't know if that's a pattern for them, but it's
certainly sounds like.
Like, what were they doing, like chippy wise? When you say chippy, what were they doing?
They were, I don't know. They were shoving guys. I mean, in defense, like, you know, the Rick team was going for like alley oops and stuff when they were up by 20, but they were shoving them on the way down and stuff like that. They weren't taking kindly to that.
Okay. All right, so there's a history of chippiness with the Fitchburg State squad.
Okay,
John, you should be on that.
That guy has made it. He's issued an apology. So he's throwing that out there, which I'm sure will get him right back on team.
Jesus.
Well, the mistake is that it went viral.
No, that's a lawyer saying, show some remorse, damn it, so there's no civil lawsuit.
Oh, he's never going to play basketball.
No,
again.
No, I'm talking about a civil lawsuit. Show some remorse is what that is.
Can you do that? If there were no bones broken and there was no need to go to the hospital, if you file a lawsuit, you're an idiot. You're absolutely a puss.
He got up and hit both free throws.
Yeah, right. He ended up being fine.
What
but
I'm
it doesn't
saying
mean that
is
his nose
was
broken.
The kid apologized the next day instead of that night. I'm thinking someone got to him and said, in case of future civil litigation, you need to issue an apology.
Oh, you don't say. I mean, of course they said that. Because you know how bad that school looks right now? Like, you don't have control of your athletic program.
I don't think he went to a lawyer. I think that he just saw that this thing wasn't going to go away. I mean, the kid's an idiot. He thought
still
no one was going to
go away.
He
apologized. Great. It's on video.
Well, no, but he had to. I don't know. Everyone apologizes. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But, this is not going to go away by that, of course. But he's never going to play basketball again if that's his intention. All right, Rich, we do have full phone lines. But what is the stack? We have to do the stack. It's contractually obligated.
I got a somewhat scary message this morning from one of our regular guests that I think we need to talk about. Yeah. It's very... very concerning, but it has a happy ending, thank goodness.
What is it? Sarge at a massage parlor?
Because it had a happy ending. Think of me.
Aha!
I love your eyebrows there, Fred.
That was good. Yeah. I'm full of quips.
Aha!
All right, here are the headlines.
98.5.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. Let's go to Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, how you doing, Toucher and Rich? This is Dan. My nephew is Matt Morrow, the big kid that went over to the corner with Marcos to help up Nate. And, I was sitting courtside. Obviously, that incident is getting a lot of media play, but that kid clearly has issues. But I know today Nate is doing okay. Spoke with my nephew this morning. He's a tough kid, so thank God.
So did you know if he feels like he had a concussion or had to go? Because that's the other thing is that they're saying that, and on the video it's tough to tell, but it looks like his head snapped and hit the floor as well when he hit the ground. Do you know anything about whether he's got a concussion?
I do. I actually talked to a couple of the players, and the athletic director is requesting, you know, to keep it low key until they make an announcement.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
sucks. Yeah, he did. I was sitting right there. His head did snap back. He did hit the floor. But I haven't gone to Nichols games for the past couple of years with my nephew on the team. I've seen every game, and like I said, that kid is just one of those scrappy dive on the floor type of players. I mean, he's just tough. So I was surprised he got up, to be honest with you.
What led up to that?
Well, there was an incident on the other end of the court where he was playing tough D, and the kid took a shot, and he fell down, and I guess he felt that he was fouled. May have been a no call aside of that. So, you know, regardless of what happened, that's unacceptable behavior, and there's no excuse.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
There's
sure
you can't take all your frustration on a bad call. My goodness, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for calling. That's interesting.
All right. Let's go to Chris. Chris, go ahead.
Hey guys. Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, I was just calling about the Fitchburg video. I think the thing that people like aren't talking about, which actually I took away, which I thought was really weird, is after the kid, like, you know, elbows him in the face, is the Nichols players just kind of, like, you know, obviously went to their teammate and, like, were making sure he was okay. But, like, no one even, like, went after that kid. Like, I think if you elbow, you know, someone, one of my players in the face, you know, at least some sort of, like, you guys were saying earlier, like, at least a basketball scrum is acceptable. You know, never mind getting in the kid's face and being like, hey, what's the problem?
But did you think they saw it? Because it looks like they were all going for the rebound, and then they turned around and saw that he was on the court.
See, that's what I was trying to figure out from the video, because you can only see that angle. And, I mean, I guess you're right, but you see a player on the ground, I don't know. I think even after the fact, even if you're like, hey, what happened? You'd be like, that guy just elbowed me in the face. Like, I think you guys should still probably confront the kid instead of just being like, oh, all right, well, I guess that's the way you guys want to play, whatever.
I mean, that's a good point. At some point, this dude's going to get off the floor and go, that guy just elbowed me in the face. And then if you're one of the players, right, I mean, you would think that they and to be honest, in all fairness, I don't know if anyone did, because that video cuts off, and
no,
all
they,
we're seeing is 10 seconds in time.
No, the kid got up and he hit the free throws. I don't believe anyone went after the – well, the kid was out of the game. I mean, they kicked him out of the game. So there's nothing they could have done to that particular kid.
But, I mean, you look at the picture of him right before he elbows the dude, and no one is looking at them. Like, no one is looking at them.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at the basket, as any normal person would. Well, this is kind of this was kind of weird, because anytime you see somebody tweet something out and it's a picture of something they wrote, that's when your heart kind of sinks into your chest, because usually that's when big announcements
are made. I'm a writer. Well, this guy's getting published before me.
What?
That's what happens when I look at the note.
Oh, okay.
What, do you think you're better than me? Knowing how to write?
Right. Well, this tweet was sent out less than an hour ago, 45 minutes ago, from Jeff Howe, who, of course, is a good friend of ours. We have him on the show a lot. He's from The Athletic. And he wrote this. He said, the past couple of months have been an incredible, stressful challenge for our family. But we received some awesome news Wednesday night, and I want to share this story with you for a few reasons. I haven't been myself since September, and it's been a struggle both personally and professionally. Due to a medical issue, I underwent test after test, and doctors recently believed there was a high likelihood that I had thyroid cancer. 2 weeks ago, as the seriousness grew with each test and every conversation with my doctor became more ominous than the last, we prepared ourselves for a certain fate and a necessary fight. It was an exhausting, frustrating, terrifying, and challenging in ways that I couldn't possibly describe. On Wednesday night, thanks to what feels like a miracle, my final test came back negative. There's no cancer. We'll continue to monitor everything for a while, and I'm not in the clear just yet, but this was unbelievable, unexpected, exhilarating news. I'm sharing this because it hit home how important it is to get yourself checked out, and if you think there's a problem. Too often, if you're in control of your own health, you don't want to wait until it's too late. Maybe it'll just lead to a terrifying false alarm. But in my case, in the now thankfully slight chance my issue leads to cancer, we'll be right on top of it, and we'll kick its ass. We wouldn't be in this stage if we didn't take a proactive approach back in September. Second, I'm sharing because it became therapeutic to discuss this process with my family and friends over the past month. I bottled up a lot of it for a bit, and that didn't do me any good. Expand your support system. Whatever you're going through, no matter what scale, please don't go through it alone or without those who can lift you up. We're all in this together. Please talk to someone, please. Finally, I've been way too quiet on Twitter and probably some other settings too, even with my second point
in
mind.
You're making it up with this. You're making up for it with this long ass.
He said there's only so much you can share in a public setting. So I've been, obviously not. He said, so I've been more reserved than normal. You're getting the old me back. Signed, Jeff. So good for Jeff. We're glad he's all right.
I'm very happy he's healthy. I don't. The brevity of that was outstanding. It's a long ass letter.
Yeah, but it's all good. Like, yeah. What could he have edited out of that?
Everything. He could have said, I had a medical scare with thyroid cancer, and thank
you
God.
You are a heartless human being. That is a really well written thing, and it's a great point. You should get it checked out.
Yeah. He is a writer.
He is.
He's a writer, much to Fred's chagrin. He's a writer.
No, I'm very happy.
He's
that
better
he
than you.
Oh, let's not go crazy. It's a very long letter. That's all I'm saying.
It is, but it's all good.
But so, you had someone else read it to you, so it's not all bad, right?
There you go.
Well, and now the stack's over.
Yeah, we got a few more minutes.
Got a few minutes.
I'm just joshing around, guys.
Bested.
Do you want, by the way, do you want to know how much people like Le'Veon Bell on the Steelers? So much that when it was announced that he wasn't coming back, they ransacked his locker.
That was awesome.
And that is not hyperbole because there is a video of it. Players in the Steelers locker room.
They were like knocking each other over to get there. It was really funny.
To get his cleats, his Nike cleats, to get all of his gear. As a matter of fact, here's a video of Bud Dupree taking Bell's cleats.
Yeah, man. I appreciate the cleats, my guy, man. You know what I'm saying? But I hope you the best, man. Wish you success, my guy. But appreciate the click, man. I'm taking all off and on, bro. Much love.
What are you going to do with him?
Man, I hope you get that dead leg right.
Yo, I got your feet in.
Gotta get that dead.
As they continue to dig through his locker. So, by the way, there were people going through and taking it away, and it was also reported that the Steelers players found a mixtape CD that was labeled Le'Veon Bell number one.
Yeah. Wonder what's on that.
It's a pump up the jam, probably.
Yeah.
He likes to pump up the jam.
That would be. They got to release what's on that.
Oh, without it, you have to do that. How great would it be if it was all like just jock jams?
No, how great would it be if it was all, like, musical numbers?
Right. Something from Les Miserables?
Yeah.
One day more.
Yeah. The James Gordon special.
The Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. Well, it could be. So, anonymous Warriors players are now talking to the media, and one in which, after the fight where Kevin Durant and Draymond Green got in that yelling match, and Draymond Green said, don't you dare effing talk to me this way. This team was great without you, and it's still going to be great. And then Kevin Durant says, you don't know me. And Kevin Durant and what's his name? Draymond Green goes, hey, listen, you are keeping everyone talking about your stupid free agency. Why don't you just tell everyone to shut up or say, hey, I love being a Warrior, instead of making this story continue. And apparently a bunch of people from the Warriors agree with Draymond Green.
Of course.
And now you have anonymous Warriors players saying that there is, quote, no way Kevin Durant is going to re-sign. And I've said that since the beginning. I think that's the one thing that gnaws at him, is that ever since he made that decision, everyone has ripped on him. He went from being the golden boy of the NBA to being a ring chaser. He has his ring now, and I believe as soon as this is done, he is going to go somewhere else. However, if you kind of want to know the truth, sometimes you listen to what family members have to say. Kevin Durant, his brother, on Instagram put out this. He put, true colors ain't hard to see when someone is mad. It's so much more clearer now, LOL. Instead of competing with what's already written, just follow along before the greatness is done rubbing off on you and people see you for what you really are.
They're a very sensitive family. Oh. I mean, they're exceptionally sensitive.
Well, I mean, just Durant, before you even get to the family, because this, you're right, this isn't the first time they've said anything, but Kevin Durant, just with the burner accounts alone.
No, he, you know, and what's funny is anywhere he goes, he's never going to be happy.
We talked about this. I mean, the guy has all the individual and team achievements you could want. Seriously, he's one of the best players on the planet. He's played for Team USA in the Olympics, right? He's won a gold medal. He won an MVP award without that cast of characters around him. He's won two championships where he was the only guy. He was the reason that they won. He was the guy. In a cast of stars, he was the guy. I mean, think about the byline when they went out and beat LeBron James. It was Kevin Durant beats LeBron James. And he's still like this? He's still...
you know, skittish about things like this. He's still super sensitive. If you can't be confident and relaxed after you've done all the things that Kevin Durant has done, you never will be. And dropping him into New York City as the main focus of the New York Knicks could not be a worse place for him to go.
And by the way, like, the Knicks aren't, he doesn't automatically make them a great team. And I'm not convinced Porzingis is ever the same.
He can't be a lead dog. He can't be a lead dog. His personality won't let it happen.
Kevin Durant can't be a lead dog?
Yes. He needs a cast of characters around him. He needs Russell Westbrook.
But he can be the lead guy. I mean,
he needs Russell Westbrook.
He's the lead dog now. I mean, on any team that he's on, he's the best player.
No, but he's sensitive to the point that the New York press will eat him alive.
That we agree.
He needs someone to take the spotlight off him occasionally.
Think of if you just.
And by the way, Porzingis doesn't have the personality to do that. I'm sorry for interrupting.
I'm not convinced he ever comes back, but or he's ever the same. There's just the way he's built, and I'm not, and that's just really a lame thing to say.
Well, I mean, there's
it
chances
looks that way to me.
Well, the one thing about the Knicks too is that there's all this talk is that wherever Kevin Durant may go, well, I hate Celtics fans aren't going to like to hear this, but maybe they might try to get Anthony Davis. There's all this. I mean, Anthony Davis does not seem happy with the Pelicans, and I don't know how much the Knicks have, but it might not be the Knicks. There might be some sort of scenario in which he might be able to hook up with him, and then. Maybe he will be able to win and get his respect back.
As long as he has a running mate, fine.
Okay, because I'll back up Wallach here. If you're interviewing, if say it's, everything's normal and there's no issue. If you're interviewing, so you can interview one person on Golden State. Who are you going to interview?
Oh, Draymond Green. Million times out of a million.
And second, who would you interview?
Probably Durant.
I'd interview Curry. I mean, Curry's...
Yeah. Curry's much more personable.
And he's much more popular.
But I find Durant much more interesting for reasons like this.
I understand that, but let's pretend for a moment that you're not mainstream media, which you're not. A mainstream media is going to go to Curry before they go to Durant.
I find Durant way more complex.
I understand that,
being.
But...
Okay, if you wanted the most eyeballs on something, is it Durant or is it Curry?
Oh, you mean the most people clicking on it?
Yeah.
Durant. Especially after this.
No, I said a normal thing. Like, just a normal... There's no issue going on.
He's the guy who's, like, on Family Feud. He's the guy... He's got the higher Q rating.
Oh, Curry does.
Curry does.
Are you talking about just, like, notoriety? Steph Curry's more popular.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so that's my point. That's kind of going what John says, is that he's...
He's also way more popular than Draymond Green, but I put Draymond Green first.
No, but Draymond Green you're going to want to talk to.
Without a doubt. Draymond Green's going to be the next Charles Barkley in broadcasting.
Yes, he's the guy who kicks guys in the balls, Draymond Green. Yes, that's the guy.